I hope you had an encouraging day getting here. I'm sure that there is a lot of encouragement on the way. And perhaps some perseverance as well as you tried to cross the street of a marathon to get to church. But, you know, it's an incredible day. And I think, you know, as people are out there running the marathon, you know, we're here trying to get through it to get to church. Amen, guys? And anyway... it's inspiring, and I hope that you are going to have an encouraging day for the rest of the day. I mean, what an incredible weekend just to enjoy the fellowship and maybe even be able to enjoy it outdoors as well, which is unheard of sometimes in Chicago. So I hope everything's going well. I mean, it was incredible last week to talk about and announce that our first group, remnant group, has come on out in Madrid, Spain, and has been meeting. Isn't that awesome, guys? And, man, what an incredible thing. Now, when you go to Spain, you can visit your brothers and sisters in Spain, too. Amen? But maybe you should learn a few Spanish words before you go do it. And also, I hope you're encouraged, guys, just by the spirit of what it's been doing in the church. And I think for us, we're, of course, studying out the Book of Romans. And if you're visiting, that's what we've been doing in the church for about... let's see, about 9 weeks so far here. So anyway, it's going to be a fun time. We're going to be getting into chapters 14 and chapters 15. And, you know, there's a movie that in some ways defines through its title and through its motto what chapters 14 and 15 of Romans mean for us today. And, of course, I think probably for some of us, we've never even watched the movie. But for some of us, we're very well known and know it very well. And that's The Three Musketeers. Some of you know it. Some of you have no idea and think that's only a candy bar. But The Three Musketeers are about these three men who are going out there doing great things, but they have a motto. And what was the motto? It was once all for one and one for all. Or you could say one for all and all for one. And I think here we got the heading of what chapters 14 and 15 are going to be for us, guys. One for all for one. And that's the title of the sermon today. And we got to understand, in the world itself, nothing awesome is accomplished without unity. Amen, guys? I mean, even Margaret Mead, Brittany and I are over at the Chicago Zoo, and it says, listen, don't be surprised that only a few people in the world have done great things. Indeed, that's the only thing that has truly changed the world, is a small, united group of people who have set out to do something awesome. And I think, guys, that defines what we are doing here today, guys. You know that by unity, Jesus even says in John 17, that is what the world is, how they'll know that Jesus sent us. Amen? And I think, guys, that is what we are all about. So we're going to be studying out today Romans 14 and 15, one for all for one. And we got to see, we can do the impossible as long as we're unified. Amen? But, of course, we can't be doing it our own way. We got to be doing it God's way. Amen, guys? All right. So let's be getting in here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. And Romans 14, the first part is going to be, the title is Unity Through Acceptance. And so here we understand that Romans 14, 1 through 18 will be covering that. Then after that, we're going to go into Romans 14, verse 19 through chapter 15, 1 through 15, 6, verse 16. And that is going to talk about just the unity of making it every effort. And then that also will be covered in 15, verse 25 through 33. 15, verse 17 through 24 is going to be unity and missions, and we'll be coming back to that. And so, guys, for us, we understand. Listen, the spirit of the church. What is it? It's awesome. It's all for one and one for all. Amen? Let's go to chapter 14, verse 1. Come on, Mike. All right, Romans 14. You guys are going to love this. 14, verse 1. You guys ready? Okay. It says, accept him whose faith is weak. without passing judgment on disputable matters. All right, so, okay, here's our first thing we got to talk about. We can't go any further than this. We got to be unified in the disputable matters of the church. What in the world does that mean? Well, we got to be unified in today's vernacular, the opinions of the church. Because guys, we all have opinions, right? I mean, you had an opinion of what you're supposed to wear to church today. Now, maybe that was a great opinion. Maybe that was not a good opinion. But either way, you had an opinion about it. Amen? And so we got to see if there's opinions about everything. Maybe, do you guys have opinions? Okay, and maybe if you said no, you just don't have an opinion about that. But you got to get an opinion on whether you have one. But we got to see, there are opinions we all have. Amen?
Yeah.
And guys, this is the disputable matters of the church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We get division in the church because we have our opinion. Here's what I think. This is what I think. And we'll cover that in a second. And God recognizes it. God says, listen, I understand this is what's going to separate you. You guys are going to be messed up because of the disputable matters. And that's going to cause division. And we have to accept each other and not pass judgment on these disputable matters. Okay? So, we're going to get into it, and you're going to like what we're going to get into. Amen? So, here we got to really see, we got to be strong. And we got to accept different opinions. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, and we're going to kind of get into a little bit more of what this is talking about. 1 Corinthians 10, we'll go in verse 23. It says, everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Is that true? I mean, going to McDonald's, permissible. But when you walk out of there, you're saying, was that really beneficial? I mean, I was hungry, and that hamburger tasted great. But now I'm literally in some weird McDonald's coma that I can't get out of. Unless I go back to McDonald's and get more. Anyway, let's move on. It's not talking about McDonald's. It's talking about a lot more than that. Okay. Everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Okay? Everything's permissible, but not everything is constructive. Kind of same idea right there. Just kind of elaborating upon that idea. It says, nobody should seek his own good. Whoa! But the good of others. That's pretty radical. Did you pray about that this morning? Let's skip down to verse 31. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. Please everybody in every way. That's a lot. And then it says, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Yep. See, guys, because we want to see the world go to heaven.
Amen.
And we want to see each other go to heaven. And so Paul says, that's my goal.
Yep.
That's why I do what I do. That's why I want to please everybody. And then he says, follow my example. As I follow the example of Christ. Whoa. Christ is the same way. Paul says, I'm just following Jesus. Because Jesus wants everybody to go to heaven. And he'll do whatever he's got to do. Amen?
Yeah.
So here we see that we ought to understand that in the scriptures, God has different opinions and He basically makes them commands because those are His laws. And we don't argue with God. Amen, guys? We don't say, I don't know about that one. I want to do this. See, when you want to argue with God's commands, you are going down a bad road right there. Amen, guys? But we got to understand there are things outside of that that we got to understand there's a lot of different things you could do. Right? If God says, hey, don't do this, Period. You don't do it. There's no opinion matter about the issue. Amen? Does that make sense? You guys with me on that one? Okay, awesome. But, let's say it's not in the Bible. Is it permissible? Yeah. Anything that God hasn't made in a clear command is permissible, but now we get into what it's talking about beyond that. Which is, not everything is beneficial. Does that make sense? Of course, going to McDonald's is permissible. But if you're going to eat there, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you are going to gain weight and have major health issues. And it's not beneficial. And so we'll maybe talk about that a little bit later too. But we got to see, guys, that in all areas outside the Bible, we need to understand there is what's best to do. And so we got to decide what is best to do outside of the commands of the Word of God. And that's where the division, the disunity can come from. Amen? Does that make sense? Because those are where we say, oh, well, I believe this and I believe that. But we got to understand, Paul says, listen, this is going to trip some people up. It's going to make them stumble. What he means by that, it's going to cause people to not become disciples. He talks about the Jews and the Greeks. He says it's going to make them stumble. They're going to trip up. They're not going to find salvation. They're not going to make it. But then he also says, but also the church of God, which guess what that means? Us here today. That's us. And it can make us stumble if we're not unified in these things. Amen, guys? So we got to be unified in these matters of opinion. And understand that even a heart we got to have towards what they really are. Okay? But here, we got to understand, we're not going to cause disunity. Let's go to 14 verse 2. Chat of Romans. It says, one man's faith allows him to eat everything. Now, that's a big faith. And we can even understand, that brother definitely eats everything right there. Okay. It says, one man's faith allows him to eat everything. But another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. So for any vegetarians out there, what is it talking about? Do you have weak faith when you only eat vegetables? I mean, it's almost like today it's switched around. The people who eat the vegetables are the awesome people, and the people who eat everything, dude, they need to repent. You know what I'm talking about? But way back in two millennia ago, eating everything was awesome, and eating vegetables, you had a weak faith. It's talking about really understanding the old covenant of the law, right? Where you weren't allowed to eat certain kinds of meats and all that. So somebody says, you know what, I'm just going to be like Daniel, and I'm not eating anything because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to break the law of the Bible. But other people say, you know what, I got strong faith. I know it is through Jesus and understanding that obedience through the new covenant is what saves me. And therefore, the old covenant of eating different kinds of unclean, quote-unquote, meat is okay. So they eat everything. Does that make sense? So if you're a vegetarian, amen, that's awesome. That actually takes a lot of discipline, and that's incredible. And some of us maybe need to strive to be more like the vegetarians in the room. Amen. But then moving on, okay. So here we got, it says, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Wow. God has accepted both the one who eats everything and the one who eats only vegetables. He has accepted both of them. Isn't that intense? So whether you go to McDonald's or you don't, God still accepted you. And to some, that's a radical teaching. But we got to see what is beneficial, what's constructive. Amen? And then you got to say, well, maybe it's not wise that you go there all the time. Amen. Okay. So, moving on. But here we see a little broader view of this whole opinion matters. Can't that separate people?
Yeah.
I mean, you even see people who hate McDonald's and would hate people that go there. Those people exist in the world. You see the people handing out flyers on the street. Hey, don't eat meat. Don't eat meat. Don't eat meat. Don't eat meat. Look at the cute animals. You are so mean for killing these cute animals. And then, but they're still killing plants. I mean, don't plants live, plants have a life. I mean, if we're going to be serious, we got to uphold all living beings. You know? But then we die. So you got to understand, that's a natural part of how life works. Okay, amen. That's an opinion matter, guys. We're not going to get into that. Amen? But here, we got to see that it's important to understand this conviction. That some people have this conviction about eating vegetables. Others eat everything. But the real issue that the Bible's talking about is the harsh attitude of looking down on each other. Does that make sense? The harshness of different opinions. And how we can call other people to our opinions to be harsh on them. And so here, later on in the scriptures, it starts talking about all these things. Special days. Some of you want to do this. You got special days. Other people say, no, every day is equal. Some people go and say, no, alcohol. I will not even go near it. Some people say, listen, as long as you're self-controlled, it's not a sin. It's okay. And so you got the different opinions going on right there. You with me on that? I mean, we see that here in the church, there are disputes about these things. And we got to understand what is right and what is wrong. Halloween. I mean, you got the question about Halloween. It's coming up. We're in October. Uh-oh. Halloween's coming. And wait a minute. Halloween, in some instances, was not the most spiritual holiday. You know, what is all this skulls and darkness stuff and all that stuff? Because people are like, well, because it symbolized some bad demonic things. So then they say, you know what? We cannot celebrate that holiday. But then somebody else says, but I grew up ever since a kid, you know, dressing up as my favorite cartoon character and walking around and asking people for candy. You know? Nobody told me that we were worshiping demons or anything like that. It was just a fun thing to do, and it coincided with the same kind of harvest festival. So then they say, but, so what do I do? And so then we got the problem. We got to say, okay, well, what does the Bible say about Halloween? It doesn't say anything about Halloween. So here, we understand Halloween is not a command. So we got to say, okay, everything's permissible. What's beneficial, though? For the person whose conscience is destroyed, we got to say, listen, it's not good for you to do this. We can't do it. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But also, for the people whose heart aren't bothered by it, the person who says it's horrible has to understand, listen, okay, I can't be harsh on those people who don't feel the same way as I do towards it. Does that make sense? Or it divides. We also have the whole understanding of, you know, e-times versus dates. Which one are they, right? In the church, we call them e-times. But then you go to the GLC and nobody knows in the world what an e-time is. Because an e-time only exists here in Chicago, guys. Okay? So here, I mean, they're awesome. I love the word e-time. I think it gives you a lot more understanding of what this is. It's not a date where you're trying to figure out if this is the person I'm going to marry. It's a time where you go encourage one of your fellow brothers or sisters in Christ. And you just want to get them closer to God and focused on God and protect them from all the worldly influences that have been coming out throughout the week. Amen? So here it's an encouragement time. But some people say, no, it's a date. You can't look down on somebody who calls it a date. You know, the Bible doesn't say, what do you call it? The Bible just says you got to encourage one another daily. Amen? And also, I think, you know, even going to the retreat, we're going to have a lot of breaks to go pray and do all these things. But some people might say, I want to go play football. Yeah. And somebody else says, I want to go on a 2-hour prayer walk. Yeah. Now, can the guy who's playing football say, what a weirdo. You know, he doesn't want to be a part of the fellowship. No, he can't get harsh on that guy. And the guy who says, I want to go pray, and they're going to go play football? Can't get harsh on that person either. Amen, guys? Yeah. We got to really trust one another and say, we got to really follow God's commands. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, let's move on. And we got to see harshness in disputable matters causes disunity. So we got to be really careful. Amen, guys? All right, let's keep going. Verse 4 through 8.
Come on, Mike.
Says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone. And none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Amen? So here, Paul says, number one, he believes a Christian needs to be together. In the Spirit, Christians need to be together here. There's no such thing as a solo Christian, guys. You know what I'm saying? We all affect one another. You can't say, well, I don't affect anybody. I can just do what I want. No, we're all together. We're a body, right? If your finger gets chopped off, how are you feeling? Okay? Well, sorry about my hand, but my rest of the body's feeling great right now. No, the whole body suffers. That's the effect we all have on each other. Point two, he's saying, we got to belong to the Lord whether we live or die. So here he says, guys, we all understand. As disciples, we are putting our life on the line. And so here we got the understanding that there is not two levels of discipleship. There's the, we either belong to God when we're living, or we belong to God when we're dying, but we're all on the same level. Amen? So here we understand that we are all together. We are all called to the same discipleship as everybody else. It is one standard. Jesus is standard. Amen? And that's awesome because we're not called to a religious club, right? We're not a social club that meets every Sunday. We follow the commands of the Bible. And if you're not doing that, then you need to repent, get open, and get some help. Amen? And so, but that's okay because we all need to repent every single day. And so we all got to get on board. Amen, guys? So here we understand Jesus' standard is discipleship. And I even think, you know, you see the Sao Paulo mission team going out. Literally 3 weeks ago, one of the sisters was held up by gunpoint in the house. They shove her and the owners of the house in a closet, and they ransack the entire house. They steal their computers, they steal wallets, they steal whatever they can get. And finally, in the end, Raul says, you know what? They may even persecute us and hold us up in our houses. But even if we have to die out here in Sao Paulo, we will build God's church. And so, that's the conviction of our brothers. And you can clap. But I think here we got to see that, guys, that's not different for Sao Paulo, amen? That has to be your standard. You got to have that standard that I will die. I am not part of a social club. I am a disciple of Jesus. And that is why we are drawn together today in this room. Amen, guys? That is what it's all about. Are you with me? Awesome. Okay, same commitment. So verse 4, let's go to that real quick. It says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So we got to address this. There's not to be this judging is what it's saying. But now we've gone, I think in a lot of ways today, to the whole other extreme, right? Only God can judge me. You ever heard somebody say that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen posters of hip-hop rap artists with like tattoos, smoking weed, saying only God can judge me. Like, what is that? Yeah, you're right. Only God can judge you. He will judge you, and it's not going to be a good judgment. That's it. God has laid out his judgment in the Bible. If you want to see what God says, go ahead and read it, and you'll know for sure right there. It's not going to be a, well, let's see what happens on the last day kind of deal. You see what I'm saying? You can find out today right after church. What does God really say? We don't have to wait. We know it through God's word. Amen? Yeah. So you're right. Only God can judge you, and he's already laid out the judgment in the Bible. Now you just got to open it and read it. Amen? But here, we got to see. So now, there's this whole thing of nobody can judge me. But the thing is, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, and we'll read this real quick. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Says, I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave this world. Right? You'd have to just lock your doors, stay inside your house till the day you die. It says, but now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? Whoa, now the Bible's saying you judge those inside the church. Is this a contradiction? Let's get into it. He says, God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. So here, there's a conviction. The world is the world. And we understand, right? You understand, there's immorality in the world. There's greed in the world. There's slander in the world. There's idolaters in the world. There's swindlers in the world. You ever been swindled before?
Yeah.
You know, that's what's in the world. And now we got to understand something. That's in the world. In God's church, that is not to be. And we understand that we need to judge and make it a judgment about our own in the church. Whoa! Hold on, you're saying so people do judge. Exactly. Here it says, we got to understand, biblically, we are called to judge. And what does this judge mean? Does it mean look down on other people who are not... They only had a 45-minute quiet time. And I had a two-hour quiet time. Those little disciples. One day they'll be at my level. And I'll just talk to the other two-hour quiet time people over here. We'll have our little group. And maybe one day you can join. Now see, that's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about what it really means to understand we got to evaluate each other's lives. We got to look at each other's lives and say, okay, here's what the Bible says. And we got to understand nothing is off limits in each other's life. Amen? We are to get involved on a deep level inside each other's hearts. And whoa, that can start getting uncomfortable, right? Because when was the last time that happened outside the church? Probably never. Right? Whoever really got into your heart for God outside of the church. Whoever really challenged you on your love for people, or your selfishness, or your defensiveness, or your pride, or your cowardliness, or your lack of discipline. Right? So when you're in the church, like, oh baby, this is a little fired up right now. This is a little hot. Right? Are you guys with me on that? Okay, it hurts. But is it bad? No. It's good to get cut because it gets the sin out of your life. Right? That's what the Bible does. You come to the right church if you're getting cut. Amen? And if you're not getting cut, then the church is not using the Bible. That's it. Bottom line. So I hope my message cuts you today. Amen. So anyway, we understand this. Nothing is off limits. In the church, we are to really evaluate, to judge the opinions of people, but not to get harsh on them. Right? To not get harsh about these different opinion matters. And here, we got to understand, when people are in there, we can't get bitter. Bitter is a sin. We got to understand, we got to love. But we also got to understand, we can't cause anybody to stumble, because that can cause people to fall away. Right? We got to understand, in disputable matters, we got to figure out what's best and give the advice on it. Amen? Awesome. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, this is really good. Jay Shelbrack's going to love this one. But God loves it too, so amen. That's awesome. A godly man loves the scripture. It says, verse 17, obey your leaders. How you feeling right now? How you feeling about that scripture right there? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Right? We don't like, some people hear the word submit and it literally, they turn into a porcupine as soon as they hear that. It says, they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Above, obey them, so that their work will be a joy. Not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Is that true?
Yeah.
When your leader's work is a burden, man, isn't it hard? You want to make it a joy, so that it can be, you can be fired up as well. And so here, we got to understand, we've got to submit. It makes life easier. But in ministry decisions, it's an opinion. So, let's say when we're meeting here on Sunday. What time do we meet on Sunday services? Amen. You guys passed it. We get here early. We know it starts at 10, but we get here at 9:30 to enjoy the fellowship and to be with one another. And in case there's a crazy marathon getting out here, we got a little bit of extra time to make our way through it. Amen? So here we understand, we get here early, church starts at 10. Okay, so with that, well, hold on. So what scripture says church starts at 10? It's not in the Bible. Okay, so guess what this is? This is an opinion matter right here. Does that make sense? Some people might say, bro, I hate meeting at 10. Let's meet at 8 a.m. I really like that. I want to enjoy my whole Sunday and be able to go out and just have lunch or brunch, let's say, somewhere that I really enjoy. Let's do it at 8. Somebody else comes and says, you know what, bro? Last week was awesome when we met at 2. Let's meet at 2 every single week. Amen. I was so energetic and awake. Amen. It was awesome. Amen. And I got to watch some cartoons and eat cereal in the morning. Which I always used to do, and I kind of miss that, honestly. Well, here we got to say, okay, what does the Bible say? It's disputable. Amen? And so we got to understand, we got to make a judgment according to opinion. And what is the best decision to make, right? Yeah. Not what does one person want, but what's beneficial to all. What's constructive to the church. Amen? Does that make sense? And so here, we got to say it's a clear teaching. Here, we are to judge, but we can't be harsh. Right? We are to make different... Understand, there's things that have to happen, but there's the disputable matters. So, amen. We got to really see that the ministry to citizens, there's different things that are going on. We got to submit to be unified. Amen, guys? We got to be unified to save the world. We got to submit to leadership to be unified together. Amen, guys? And that doesn't mean don't talk about what's on your heart, because that can be burdening to your leader too. Right? If you see somebody that looks down, for me as a leader, I see that and I think, what is going on in that person's life? 2 weeks ago, they were fired up. Now they're super depressed. They look like a different person in the fellowship. So then I say, okay, let's find out what's going on. This is a burden. But the disciple might think, I don't want to talk about it because it's going to burden them. But here you got to understand, no, it's more burdening when you're hiding or holding stuff in than when you get it out and talk about it. Does that make sense? Because we're not unified when we're holding stuff in. But when we talk about it, we say, okay, we're working together to save the world for God. Amen? And that's why we got to get open about what's going on and talk about it. Because, listen, me being up here, I see everybody right now, right? Just to be honest. And so I can say, man, I remember 2 weeks ago, this person was really fired up. But now they look super down. And I think, what's going on in their life? And then I have to ask, hey, bro, do you know what's going on in this brother's life here? You know, let's talk. Let's find out what's going on, because it seems like there's something on his heart. You know, when you see somebody down, it's not like, man, I am loving life right now. So happy. So fired up. You know, something's wrong. So we got to find out what's wrong. Maybe you need more sleep. Amen? Or maybe there's some things on your heart you haven't talked about. Amen? Awesome. Okay, cool. So here we understand, listen, midweek, that's an opinion matter, but Wednesdays are the best times to do it for the whole church. And so we got to say, here's what we've agreed as a leadership. Amen? We understand discipleship partners. Discipling. Show me where in the Bible says discipling. Matthew 28, right? We got to understand it is a command from the Bible to have discipling in our life. Amen? And that's something where we got to see, that's not an opinion matter. That's God's decision. Amen? So we don't say, well, I don't know if I should have discipling or not. No, you have to. Okay? So let's not throw that in the opinion basket. Amen? So I think we got to understand, though, when we get so focused on opinions, we get off. It causes disunity. Like, I think a great example would be the fact that we have two different football teams really represented here in the fellowship. Are you guys with me on that? You got up in Wisconsin. You got the Green Bay Packers. And we got some loyal Packers fans in the room today. I mean, diehards. But then, of course, here in Chicago, you got the Chicago Bears. Now, wait a minute, guys. You got, I mean, the Chicago Bear says, I know what my mascot is. It's a bear. It's a Chicago Bear. We know where we got it. You know? And then you look at the Green Bay Packers. And you're like, what's their mascot? They don't even have a mascot. I mean, I know a long time ago they had Packy Pack Packer as their mascot. But Packy Pack Packer versus the bear. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and now that's not even their mascots. Now their mascot is some cheese on their head. What is that? You know, the cheese heads. But see, here's a very important thing we got to understand. We can't look down on the Packers. You can't say, you're a Green Bay fan. What is that? You know? I mean, the Bears are probably going to get humbled by the Packers sooner or later. Okay? Amen. But you can just remember, amen, every dog has its day. Amen, guys? Every bear has its day as well. Okay? So, I don't know if bears eat cheese or not. We'll have to study that one out. So, you got to see, you can't look down on the Packers. That's their opinion. And if you're to say, bro, you need to change what team you like so that you can be united with me, you got to say, no, that's pretty harsh. Okay? We got to say, listen, that's a disputable matter. Amen. We can't look down on one another. Okay? Even next Sunday, we're going to be wearing our campus shirts, right? And if you're wearing your, I'm going to be wearing probably, I don't know, UIC, AI, maybe even USC, my alma mater. But we can't look down on everybody else for wearing their thing, right? You can't say UIC, Flames, whatever. What about Triton, you know? See what I'm saying? We got to really say, okay, we got to love one another, even though we have different schools that we are fans of. Amen, guys? Okay. So anyway, so we understand that. And I think we can't be authoritarian. Vacations. You know, some people, I mean, even this past GLC, some people planned their vacation during the GLC and had to rearrange it. You know? Because why? What's the best thing to do? I mean, biblically speaking, if you have your vacation set, then we got to say, okay, well, you didn't know the dates that were set, so you had already set your vacation up. But now we got to see, is there a way to get out of it? Is there something to do to be a part of it? You see what I'm saying? But once we know the dates, we got to say, okay, that's the dates. We got to follow those dates as the meeting of the body. Amen, guys? Same with the Jubilee. It's coming up, guys. You'll be there before you know it. And so we got to be ready to say, okay, it's an opinion matter, but we got to be fired up to be a part of it. Amen? Awesome. So let's go to chapter 14, verse 9. Back in Romans. 14:9. Thanks for being with me. It says, she's with me for life, by the way. It says in verse 9, that was my wife that said we're with you. Amen. It says, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. It says, you then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Here we need to understand, listen, advice we need to succeed. But if somebody doesn't take your advice, you got to understand, hey, I can't be harsh and angry towards that person. But you do got to understand, God is going to hold them to an account. And there's going to be the day where they're before God, and God says, listen, you had people in your life warning you, yet you've decided to not listen. And so here is where God holds you to an account of what's going on. So we can't be harsh, but we got to understand God will hold that person account. Amen? Let's go to verse 13. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. There you go. He would go to McDonald's. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother's distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. See, right here, we have a new revelation. Yes, we live to please God, but we also live to please our brothers and sisters. And so here, we understand, listen, if somebody struggles with something, I want to please them. If Brittany says, Mike, I can't stand that you go to McDonald's. Or let's say, Pat, Mike, I hate that you go to McDonald's. I can't handle it. I don't know what to do. I can't believe the church leader eats at a place like that. It's so hard for me. I battle it every single day. I mean, that's extreme, but there are situations where we act like that. And I got to understand, okay, you know what? What do I care more about, McDonald's or Patrick? You see what I'm saying? And I got to say, you know what? I want Patrick to go to heaven. I'm not going to eat McDonald's anymore. And amen. My brother gets to go to heaven. That's true love for our brothers. And that's what we got to see. That's what we are as a family. Amen, guys?
Amen.
It's not, oh, well, you say that, but I want to do this. And you know what? You can't tell me, so I'm going to go talk to somebody else too.
Yeah.
That's not love. You see what I'm saying? You're not loving your brother.
Yeah.
And that's the second greatest command of the whole Bible.
Yeah.
So you've literally thrown away half the Bible right there. Because you will not love your brother. You're like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do this instead. Guys, that is disgusting. We got to understand we want everybody to get to heaven. Amen? And so we got to really have the heart. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Come on. Awesome. So here we see, okay, other people sometimes have a better view than you do. Just so you know. And if a lot of people are saying, hey, bro, this concerns me, then you should be thinking, okay, I'm not the smartest person in this room. And if I think that, then I need to repent because I'm prideful. Does that make sense? So if everybody says something and you think, no, they're all wrong, nobody understands me, then you've just qualified yourself as the most prideful person probably in the room right there. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me on that? I've been there time and time again, okay? And I've had to learn it by God pounding it out of me. But I think we've learned that too. The more mature Christians know that. But us young Christians, you know, the young Christians in the room, they still haven't kind of figured that one out. They still think, no, I'm a special case. Nobody knows me at all. I've been here for 3 months. I've been a disciple for 3 months, and I am the expert on dating. And all these married disciples who've been married for 35 years have no clue what it really means to have a spiritual, godly relationship. Like, wait a minute. Okay, you are a little bit subjective right there. You got to get some objective opinions. Amen, guys? And guys, that's part of how we help each other make it to heaven. Amen? Awesome. Okay, let's keep moving on here. Let's go to verse 19. It just says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. See, we got to make every effort. And we're going to go through, really quickly, 7 ways the Bible calls us to make every effort. Amen? 15 verse 1. It says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
You know, I've been trying to say, I want to build up as many people as I can. You know, not just be sarcastic, because I can be sarcastic a lot. But really just saying, I want to build people up and just tell them how awesome they are and point out every good thing I can. Because that's what the Bible calls me to do. And here we got to understand, even beyond that, we got to bear with the weak and build them up. Amen? That's what the church is about. And so, for here, we got to see, man, that's awesome. And we tell people, you know what, I really appreciate this about you. Or, dude, this is great what you did here. You know what I'm saying? We got to build each other up. Amen?
Yeah.
Are you guys fired up about that?
Yeah.
Are you still digesting some of that earlier stuff right now? Is that what's going on? Okay, it's like, oh, it's a lot. Okay. All right, well, let's move on. We got to build each other up. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So here, we got to do that. We need to be built up. And I think that's why, man, we got to have first be built up by God in our quiet times and then build each other up in the fellowship. Amen? If you didn't have an awesome quiet time this morning, it's going to be hard to build people up. Right? So we got to be doing that every single day. Amen? Imagine if we all had that heart. We're all building each other up. We're all getting into people's lives. Imagine what the fellowship would really be like when we were all like that. It would be cranking. And I mean, people would come in and they'd just be like, I got to be here. These people are so in tune with each other's needs and helping one another out. And that's what we're called to be. Amen, guys?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to verse 3. It says, For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So not only do we bear the weak, but we got to look at Christ's example, right? That's our standard. It should be your standard. If it's not your standard, it needs to be your standard. Amen? And so we got to build each other up, but we also got to say it's all about Jesus' example. We're following that. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus persevered. He persevered against his family criticizing him. He persevered against everybody around him, even the traditions of the people around him. He persevered against that to change the world. And we got to be like Jesus. And then verse 4, it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, which scriptures is it talking about? It's not talking about the New Testament. It wasn't even around. Get this. The Old Testament, guys. The Old Testament is what the Bible's talking about, is going to encourage you and give you endurance. Isn't that intense? But I think a lot of times we can think, the Old Testament, man, that's a whole other world compared to the New Testament. I really like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I like those books. I've read that ever since I was a kid. Let's stay there. But Paul and the Spirit right here are saying, listen, it is the Old Testament that can give you endurance and encouragement that's going to make you do supernatural things spiritually, just like the guys in the Old Testament, you know? Like David taking down Goliath. Amen? So that's why, guys, you need to be studying out the Old Testament. You got to say, all right, I got to dig. I can't be afraid of the Bible. I got to dig in here and figure out what it means, because God's Word is God's Word. Amen? Awesome. Okay, cool. Let's move on. We got to see that this wasn't just a mere suggestion. We got to really get in the Old Testament. And without it, people won't mature. But verse 5, let's go through there. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. And it says, among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. So that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, we understand the Old Testament, it is God that gives you the encouragement and endurance. It's through God. And so by that, we get that spirit of unity. Amen? One for all for one.
Amen.
And it doesn't just happen. We got to really work at it. Verse 14. He says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I've written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave to me, to be a minister of Christ Jesus, and to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So Paul builds up the Roman church, and he wants them to be full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and to instruct one another. Are you with that? Instructing each other. We got to be involved in helping each other and teaching each other from God's Word. Amen?
Amen?
And so here, we have to understand that if we want to join a perfect church, we understand Rome was never perfect. It was not a perfect church by any means. And for us on that quest to find the perfect church, we got to understand, when you find the perfect church and you join it, guess what happens? It's not perfect anymore. Because you're not perfect, right? And so now when you're a part of the church, now that church isn't perfect. Why? Because people are in the church. And nobody is perfect. Amen? So here we got to really see that we got to understand we need to trust God. We need to trust people as well. We can get so hurt because somebody did something that I don't really understand or agree with. And so instead of really being loving, we get harsh and we say, I want to go find a better church. There's none out there. Does that make sense? We got to see, listen, there's no perfect church out there. We got to love people who are totally committed to God's Word. Amen? And trust Him. And I think it's awesome. We're all here to get each other to heaven. We can't be bitter. We can't be angry. Why? Because that's a sin. Bitterness is a sin. It's understandable, but it's not acceptable. Amen? And we need to trust the brothers, trust the sisters. And we need to be knowledgeable and able to instruct. Amen? And I think that's why we got to be seeking after discipling all the time. Because we need instruction in our life. Amen? So we really got to go after that. I think the fifth way is verse 25. It says, Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessing. So here, there's one way to really encourage that maybe you forgot about. Financially giving. That is encouraging, and it helps people's needs. Amen? And so here we got to see Sunday. We got to be faithful to our pledge because it encourages the church. Amen? It provides for the needs to be taken care of. And I think here, even for our missions contribution, guys, it's going to help out not our church, but another church. That's kind of crazy, huh? That it's not about us, but it's about other churches as well. But that's exactly what the Bible talks about. Right? That we're not just one church by ourselves, autonomous, but we're churches all together supporting and loving one another. Amen? And so here, we really got that down that, you know, we got to give. And I think this is a good challenge to give your contribution early. Amen? Don't hold on to it until the few days before when your whole financial life crashes. And they're like, oh, great. I can't give contribution now. Whoa. Now you've gone back on your pledge towards God too. In the unified mind of the believers. So turn it in ASAP. As soon as you got it, turn it in. And then we'll be good. We'll be set. And then we won't have to worry and be sitting up here shaking of what's going to happen. Amen? I mean, wouldn't that be horrible to say, we missed it, guys. We missed our contribution. You just walk out of here like, that stinks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why we all got to be unified in what we're doing. Amen?
Right.
Awesome. All right, let's move on here. Verse 30.
Come on, bro.
It says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to join me in my struggle. How? By praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. That's the end of chapter 15 right there. And so here we see what is the other way. What is this final way that you can encourage? You pray for one another. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, are you in prayer for your brothers and sisters? Paul says, pray for me. And guys, it's not just like, oh yeah, dude, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for that. We got to understand, we are calling on the almighty power of God to be helping our brothers and sisters to get through what's pulling them down. We got to be praying to God, the Lord of heaven and earth, to be helping us to be strong against Satan. Amen?
Yeah.
I think, guys, we got to just see, this is awesome. What is the best way I can help you? I can pray for you every day. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Because now we see this is the most incredible thing you can do is praying for each other.
Right.
But how much do you really spend praying for the needs of your brothers and sisters here in the fellowship? And say, this is important to me. I got to pray for them and see God change their situation.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in a dorm room where it's not spiritual at all. I need to pray for that brother. Maybe this person's going through intense marriage situations. I need to pray to God Almighty to help their marriage. Maybe this person's doubting whether they can even make it through the week. And I got to pray for them. Maybe this one person's wondering, do I even want to be a disciple? We got to be praying for our brothers. Because, God, Satan's coming at us with everything he's got. And our best effective weapon is prayer to God to be able to get us through it. Amen? Awesome. So here we got to just understand that. And then finally, I think the last part is we got to be with each other, right? And we got to just understand, there you go. You know, it needs to be a time where when we're together, it's awesome. We had an incredible Bible talk trainers class yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
All the brothers came at 8:30 a.m.
Yeah, come on.
And they said, we're going to be unified, and we're going to cook breakfast for the sisters.
Yeah.
And so we got VL working over there making the potatoes. Pat's chopping the onions, sticking his tongue out so his eyes don't cry. Never heard of that one. I'm sitting there with the pancakes making pancakes. Elliot's over cooking the bacon, you know, on the griddle. And then we got all the other brothers organizing things, and Will was on the couch meditating for some crazy reason. But anyway, but it was an awesome time. I think it's because Will's been fasting and he can't eat till 1 p.m. So he's probably smelling that awesome pancakes and saying, this is a struggle right now. I need to pray on the couch. I can't hug the sisters as they come in. I got to pray right now. Just kidding, Will. Love you, bro. Okay. No, Will hugged all the sisters. It was awesome. So anyway, so here we got the brothers united. We're with each other. And we're unified. We are going to make an awesome breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And through God's amazing miracles, it was an incredible breakfast for the sisters. And it was great. And everybody ate their food and there was no leftovers. So, I mean, we're like, wow, this is great. But see, we got to be with each other and have a blast. Yeah. It's so discouraging to God when the disciples come together and they're not loving the fellowship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When people are just into themselves and not talking to each other. Because, guys, the world will talk to you all they want and try to pull you down. We got to pull each other towards God. Amen? So here we got to see that is just so, so awesome to do. The last one, we'll go back to verse 17 of chapter 15. It says, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me and leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit, so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. Last point, unity in missions. I think Paul's ambition here. Preach where the gospel was not known. And our ambition as disciples, preach where Jesus' standard is not being held up. It's a different day today. Jesus is known throughout the world. But the standard of discipleship is not. And so therefore, it's even more of a wicked time. Because in the Roman times, there was one standard. There was no false doctrines of infant baptism and praying Jesus in your heart that had seeped in the church hundreds and hundreds of years later, even thousands of years later, that affect us today. There it was, here's what the truth is, here's what we do. But today, guys, we are in a whole new world. A world of preachers who teach half the Bible. A world where people have been affected by their great-grandparents, their grandparents, their parents, and now they've been affected by the same false doctrine. Paul didn't deal with that. Christ was not preached all over the place like it is now. And so now we got a different battle to preach the true standard of discipleship. Because without being a disciple, you cannot be saved. Because in order to be baptized, Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, you got to be a disciple first. Amen? And see, this is what's so intense. Even with fellowships that are a lot like ours, because they don't teach true discipleship. They teach part of it. They teach what you're supposed to know, but they don't call people to live the life. And so here's where we got to send churches to East cities where Jesus is heard and talked about, but the Jesus of the Bible is a foreign thing that nobody knows about. You know, you tell people, Jesus says you got to deny yourself and love him as if it was like hating your family. People are like, I've never heard that in my life. Why? Because Jesus is not being preached to the world. And so here, we got to have a vision for these cities. Right? Somebody had a vision for Chicago, and look what we got here. But what about other cities? I mean, it's awesome to see Mexico City is being planted in the summer of 2012. Isn't that awesome? I mean, Maria was freaking out because she thought it was 2013. But now it's 2012. And who knows what God's plan is? I'm not saying that I know anything either. But God knows. But I think, guys, there are people here in this room. I mean, it was awesome just at Pat's birthday party last night. Where he was like, you know what? We came here with just a few disciples. And now just to look at what God's done is incredible. I mean, Pat came with a vision along with all the other mission team members to make disciples in Chicago. And now look what we have. You know? Look what God has done through that heart. And to think, what about the cities just like Chicago who have no church? There's nobody preaching the word. There's nobody who's calling people to Jesus' standard. And that's why it's so awesome to be united in the mission. Amen, guys? I mean, we got, number one, we got Boston being planted this summer. That's awesome. We got Orlando that's going to be sent a mission team to build up this remnant group down in Orlando. That's awesome. Now we got Mexico City that's being planted. On top of that, Sweet Patty is being planted as well. Paris, France. And then, finally, very dear to Chicago, is the San Francisco church will be planted as well. And so, we got to understand, man, there is awesome things, but we got to be united in missions. Amen? And I remember people tell me, Mike, you're not going to be here very long. And they told the whole room, hey, guys, we're going to be in a few years in all the different corners of the earth. And I was like, yeah, sure. Sitting in Los Angeles with Victor Gonzalez and Raul and my little brother Joey saying, yeah, well, sure, that's going to happen. And now Vic Gonzalez is down in Santiago. And now Mike Williamson's out of London. And now Raul and my little brother are in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And now I'm here in Chicago.
Wow.
You're like, whoa, God's doing it. And now I have best friends in London and Sao Paulo, Brazil and Santiago and Hawaii. You know? That's pretty awesome too. But I think seeing, guess what? Don't be surprised when that happens here too. That's what the kingdom looks like. And for us, we need to be sent out. And so understand that it's a very real call. And people will be sent out from here to plant churches in other cities. And will it be tough here? Of course it will. We're going to have to tear ourselves apart. But that's what it takes to build God's kingdom. Amen? And it's a glorious thing because in the end, guys, we'll be in heaven for eternity. There will be no tearing apart in heaven. But we got to all get the world there. Amen, guys? And so here we got to have that vision of what's going to happen, what God's doing. And I think we need to be encouraged by the sacrifice and the people that are going. And we need to really take the gospel and have the passion and say, we got to get this everywhere. Finances are going to be challenged. Prayers, we got to be faithful in our prayers. Even our relationships, even yourself will be challenged. Amen? Are you guys fired up about that?
Yeah.
Come on, awesome. One day we're going to have an awesome church in Mongolia for our Mongolian sisters. But I think that's important to realize. Naomi and Zaya, who's there preaching to their family? Who's there? If it's not us, who's it going to be? You see what I'm saying? And that's the goal. The same thing with the Philippines. The same thing with Argentina. Amen? The same thing with Kalamazoo. We need churches in all these places. Amen? So, and of course, Johannesburg, South Africa, and the whole African continent. Amen? It's awesome to see what God's doing out there. We have a few Africans in the room here today. So I think, guys, in the end, and then, yeah, believe it or not, Wisconsin as well. So, I think, guys, we got to find, just by summing it all up, we got to understand God has special plans. I mean, Jeremiah 29, He has plans to prosper, not to harm. God has special plans for your life, for the congregation as well. God has special plans for this church. Isn't that awesome to think about? And I think here, we understand we need unity. We understand in disputable matters, we got to get as much advice as possible. But we can't be harsh if somebody likes McDonald's and somebody doesn't. And in anything else along those lines. Amen? And we got to really get it down. We got to understand through unity, through caring about each other and saying, you know what, if this causes my brother to stumble, I'm not doing it. And understand that we got to make every effort to be unified. Then through that unity, we will reach the entire world. And then we can finally say, One for all, and all for one. Amen.